You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:15pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with former champion jockey Seb Sanders and Lord John Budden. We've got plenty to look forward to. Haydock, Newmarket, Chester, Catterick and Beverley in the afternoon. And then it's Chepstow and Stratford in the evening. So a real busy Saturday. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to it is Rory DeLaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am very well, thanks, Mark.
I feel like you've been here many consecutive days, Rory.
Yeah, I'm feeling that as well, to a large degree. This is number three of three double shifts. And then I stayed up rather later than I should have last night, following the the intriguing goings-on in Westminster.
Yes, yeah. thankfully, nothing quite that complex to come on Saturday. Although we do have some real open handicaps, a couple of Group 3s as well. No real flagship standout meeting this Saturday, but there's plenty of good stuff about, isn't there?
Yeah, lots of tough handicaps. A couple of group races, obviously, at Haydock to look forward to. But yeah, very run-of-the-mill, really, for a Saturday. But we're in that period between the Derby and Royal Ascot, and that's what we come to expect.
Yeah. You got anything on the shortlist for Royal Ascot, just to throw it at you at the moment?
Not an awful lot. I will begin to look at that once I've recovered from this longish stint. It's nice to look ahead. The only one that I've really got in my mind is Jesse Harrington's filly for the Albany.
Yes.
Who looks an absolute monster. But then again, we saw one last night, September, winning for Aidan O'Brien, who looks like she's going to be a superstar as well. I would be inclined to aim her at the Chesham. She could also go to Albany, but I think Chesham will suit her. It was 7 furlongs, so she won over last night. She's a daughter of Peeping Fawn, who was exceptional at 1.25 miles. So yeah, the longer trip will suit her. It comes pretty quick, obviously, on the back of that debut, but there's no doubt that she's a top quality filly with a fantastic pedigree.
So at this point, you're kind of looking at the younger, unexposed, exciting future horses, really, rather than
I think when you're dealing with the exposed horses, what you want to deal with a lot more there is looking at the shape of the race and the draw and the state of the going. As much as anything, with two-year-olds, you want to get a pecking order in your mind, really.
Yes, you do, yeah. We are going to look at some of Saturday's racing. Rory's got four races prepared for us. One of them at Beverley, a couple at Haydock, and one of them at Newmarket. Sir Anthony McCoy has also previewed the ITV 7 races for us this weekend, the 7 races that are shown live on ITV. You can find those on the William Hill pages, the horse racing pages at williamhill.com. You can also keep an eye on Twitter as well, at William Hill, if you want to see the thoughts of Sir Anthony McCoy. But Rory's in the studio with me. We're going to look at the first race that we're going to preview on here is at Beverley, and that's the 3:15, which is the Hillary Needler Stakes. Yeah, Hillary Needler. It is still the Hillary Needler Stakes, which is for the two-year-old fillies. 5 furlongs is the trip. Some nice fillies, obviously, won this in the past. Tricky race to figure out, I suppose, because some of these don't have all that much form in the book and such, but we do tend to find a nice one out of this race in the past, anyway.
Yeah, and we look to have a really nice filly in here in the shape of Rebel Assault. There's some eye catchers in there as well. Chica La Habana making her debut for Robert Kyle. He won the Colts race on this card last year, didn't he?
Yes.
With a useful sort on debut. So that she has to be interesting, and she's bred to go a little bit as well, but she'll have to beat Rebel Assault, who is close to top notch. She won very well and in a smart time at Catterick on her debut. And then some people will look at the fact that she was beaten at 2-5 at Musselburgh last time out and go, "Ah, she's not as good as we thought she was." That was an exceptional performance. She caught a real tartar there, obviously giving weight away, having won on debut. She went down by a head to It Don't Come Easy, The pair of them are heading to Royal Ascot. She's going to go to the Queen Mary. They pulled 10 lengths clear of the third in, I think it was nearly course record time. But the way they pulled away and that they got involved in a battle really showed the pair of them off, and she did not go down without a fight. It's a really good performance. And back against the fillies here in a conditions race, she's going to be exceptionally hard to beat. She's going to be a short price. I don't know if you've got prices for her already, but she's probably going to be about twos on. So it doesn't make an awful lot of appeal to a lot of punters. But if you're doing multiple bets, she does strike you as one who would be very hard to beat. Drawn in stall two. The draw shouldn't make that much of a difference. She's made all the running on both starts. And wherever she was drawn, I think she would be able to get across and lead. But she looks well above average and better than the average, the standard for this race. I think it doesn't make an awful lot of sense to look beyond her, despite the fact that, on an ordinary race, I think Chica La Habana would be really interesting making her debut here in the same colours as Prince of Lear, who won the Brian Yeardley on the same card. She'd have to be a Group 1 filly to win this on debut.
Yeah.
And that's a tough ask.
Yeah. So Rebel Assault, the most likely winner then for Rory there, but keep an eye on Chica La Habana, see how she gets on her debut there in the Hillary Needler. Let's get into something a little bit more competitive next, the 3:30 at Haydock Park, which is the Pinnacle Stakes, which is a Group 3 for fillies and mares. It's over a mile and a half almost here, the extended mile and 3 furlongs. A lot of people will be drawn to Ajman Princess at the top of the race card there, number one on the race card. She arrives here chasing the hat trick, and her effort last time in a listed race looked pretty impressive.
Yeah, although that's traditionally not the straw. It's a well-contested race in terms of the numbers. The race she won, the Daisy Warwick, but one of the weaker pattern races for fillies. She did it well in the end, although she did flash her tail, and I'm not entirely sure she's 100% straightforward.
Yeah.
She looked to have improved there. She has good form in group company. Last year, she was runner-up in the Ribblesdale Stakes at a big price. Last year, and that clearly gives her a big chance. But as I said, I'm not absolutely convinced about her. Her two wins this season have come. Well, first of all, she won a weak maiden at Lingfield, and that was a gimme really for her. Won the 20 she was that day, and then she's won a listed race at Goodwood. She'll need more to win this, and there are one or two with decent group race form who might give her plenty to think about. The one that I'd be keenest on, worth mentioning that Laganor, who was fourth in this race last year and who would have been a short price, is a non-runner. Bateel, now trained in France by Francis-Henri Graffard, runs in the same colour she did last season for David Simcock, where her best effort came when winning a listed race on heavy ground at Newmarket. The ground has taken a fair battering from the rain this week at Haydock. I don't know what the weather is doing for tomorrow. It may dry up a little bit, but the fact that she handles very soft ground and indeed quick ground is a positive for her. She ran very well in Group 1 company in the Prix Jean Romanet for David Simcock last year, finishing fifth, but only beaten 2.5 lengths. And she ran a really good race in her return. It was over a mile and seven at Shanty, but she was second to a horse called Marmalou, who's a real star for Huey Morrison. He made his debut fairly late last year, but he's improved in leaps and bounds. Remember winning at Doncaster and being very impressive, and he's clearly set up again to win that Group 3. And she finished second, to suggest she's at least as good as ever. And her best run from last season is good enough to win this. And you'd have this issue if she was still trained by David Simcock. I think she'd be a shorter price, but that makes very little difference in races of this nature. And she's ridden by Richard Kingscott as well, who rides Haydock superbly well.
Yeah.
And I think she should be favourite for the race.
Yeah.
But she won't be.
She's second favourite in the market at the moment, 3-1 in the markets. Ajman Princess 2-1, 3-1 Bateel. Maleficent Queen is 6-1, 13-2 Dubka, 10-1 Return Ace, and 16-1 on bigger prices for the others.
Yeah, just a couple of mentions there. Sir Michael Stout, I've just mentioned next door that although the yard's seemingly in reasonably good form at the moment, his turf runners haven't been doing that well, you know, compared to market expectations.
Yeah.
His last 16 runners in the turf have started at single figures. He's had one winner. One place, which was an odds-on shot that was beaten, and the rest of them have been out of the frame.
Really?
So I'm not sure the yard is flying as high as some would have you think. So Dubka could be vulnerable there. She needs to improve anyway, quite frankly.
She was disappointing on reappearance, wasn't she?
So she's got plenty to find, really. And Maleficent Queen's a horse I really like, but she was readily beaten, given the run of things in a listed race at Ayr last time out, and she just seems to have hit a brick wall in terms of her improvement. Yeah. Liked her an awful lot last season, but I don't really see where connections go with her, and she'll need to do an awful lot better in this than she did last time. And they've been trying her at different trips and different grounds, and I think they're just desperately keen to get a bit of black type for her.
It's always a worry, that, isn't it? When they try a range of different trips and then they try different headgear or different ground, it shows that they don't quite know the answer, which is a little bit of a worry. But Patil, the selection then for Rory in the 3:30 at Haydock. The next race we look at is the 3:40 at Newmarket. This is the John Sunley Memorial Handicap. A mile and three quarters is the trip for this one. Market headed by 8-1 core favourites of four. How about that? Lord Yates, Hot Beam, Jame and Bats Rock all 8-1. 9-1 Nikita, 9-1 Cape Curver. Byron Flyer, another one at nines there as well. And 12-1 our bigger prices for the remainder. Lord Yates, I thought, was very impressive at York last time. Soft conditions are no problem to him, but it is a wide open race, as the market suggests. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be soft. Having spoken to a Newmarket trainer today, the weather is currently warm and fine, and the ground should dry out to good and maybe even slightly quicker on the day, as long as the weather continues like that. There should be no excuses in terms of ground, but you don't want something that needs cuts particularly. It's wide open. Really, virtually anything in this race could win. I am taking a chance on one of the co-favourites, Bats Rock, on the basis that he's completely unexposed and had excuses for a slightly below-par run last time out. He clipped heels at Goodwood when travelling okay and didn't really recover from that. That was his first try at a mile and six. I thought he stayed at okay. Obviously, he wasn't shown to best effect the way that race panned out. But he was a good second on his reappearance at Ascot, still showing signs of residual greenness, wandered around a little bit but stayed on well in the closing stages. And although he's not exactly a standout on form, he's only had five career starts over a couple of years, and clearly there's more improvement in him. And I think it's really encouraging that he's having his third run now in the space of 4 weeks, because his issue before had been his runs have been well spaced out, and clearly he's been a bit fragile. But for him to run three times in 4 weeks suggests that he's over whatever issues he's had and he's standing up to training well.
Yeah.
So we can expect improvement from Bats Rock, and Josephine Gordon is never a bad jockey to have on your side.
Not at all. His best form seems to come on a quick surface, though. If there is a bit of dig in the ground, or if he's not good to firm, basically, would that be a slight...
Well, he's only had one run with dig in the ground. That was his debut over a mile at Nottingham, and he ran quite well. So I don't think the ground should be a massive issue for him.
Yeah.
But as I said, I expect the ground to be good.
Yeah.
Proper good ground on the day. Obviously, you never know what the weather's going to do in this country, so you've got to keep an eye on that. But there's no reason to think that he would suddenly be vulnerable on softish ground.
Yeah. All right, Bats Rock then, the pick for Rory in what is a incredibly difficult handicap. That's 3:40 at Newmarket. And the final race we look at is the 4:05 at Haydock Park, the John of Gaunt Stakes, which is a Group 3 over 7 furlongs, a field of 9 set to go to post for this one. The market headed by Britton Rock, who's 3-1, 9-2 for Mitchum Swagger, Growl is 5-1, 6-1 Gelotta, 13-2 Absolutely So and So Beloved, and 14-1 our bigger prices for the others. We'll start with the market leader, Britton Rock, who ran third in the Lockinge, which is Group 1 form. 7 furlongs, arguably a better trip for him as well.
Yeah, 7 furlongs on soft ground is what Britton Rock wants. And at first glance, given that he was third in the Lockinge, which looks a very good run, he's going to be hard to beat. But, and I love Britton Rock, and I regularly end up backing him, he's run in this race for the last 2 years, and he's finished unplaced both times, despite the ground, the conditions suiting him reasonably well. It wasn't very deep ground last year when he was fourth to Home of the Brave, but he has looked vulnerable at Haydock in the past for whatever reason. He's also, of course, a distance winner. He's won a listed race here.
Yeah.
But given that he's giving weight away, I think it would be foolish to think that he improved in the Lockinge. It just shows he's in decent form.
Yeah.
And it also shows that he stays a little bit better these days. So maybe, you know, the sharp 7 at Haydock might not bring the best out in him these days. He might want a more galloping 7. He was a very game winner at Newmarket last summer on desperate ground, where he fought back. He was headed and fought back close home to win in a tight finish. And maybe this is a sharp enough test for him.
Okay, so you take him on?
I want to take him on. I'm loath to take him on because I absolutely adore Britton Rock. But I'm going to take him on with another course and distance winner in So Beloved, who was third in this race last year in front of Breton Rock, has had a couple of runs this year without looking quite at his best. He looked badly in need of the run at Leicester in his return. I think that was behind Home of the Brave again. And then he was third, just behind Absolutely So, on his latest start. But he loomed up looking a big threat, and his run just flattened out a little bit. So I thought maybe that was still just slightly needed. He'll be spot on for this. He handles any ground. He's effective in good firm ground. He's effective in heavy ground. And I think he'll run his race. Whereas a lot of these have been below form recently. I mean, he was, you know, probably 4 or 5 pounds below his best form last time out, but he looked like he was coming to the boil. Whereas a few of these have flopped recently. Mitchum Swagger, you can give chances to in his best form, but he was seventh in the Lochinch, and it's all very well saying the Lochinch was a tough race and he was out of his depth, but he was well behind Breton Rock. So yeah, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense to think that he will turn the tables, especially as he stays a mile really well, and the drop back to seven is not necessarily ideal for him. I can see his chance, but he's been very well found in the market for a horse whose form gives him plenty to find.
Yeah,
that is the Spirit, and Hillbilly Boy will guarantee this is run at a decent pace, so it's going to be a truly run race. I think it'll suit one coming from off the back, and So Beloved has a really good turn of foot, and is very well suited by this course and distance.
Okay, one we didn't really mention in there in much detail, just get your quick thoughts on Gelotta, who finished third in a Group 2 last time behind Sovereign Debt, who's gone on to win again. So that form maybe not so good.
Yeah, Gelotta's definitely a player again, yet another course and distance winner in this race, from a yard that had been sort of treading water a little bit but had a double yesterday. Yeah. So Charlie Hill's clearly in decent form. Jimmy Spencer takes the ride. Don't expect him to be coming from the clouds on this one. I think he's sit just behind the pace. That's Gelotta's run style. He's very, very consistent. But, you know, if they all bring their A game, I think So Beloved's got a couple of pounds in hand of Gelotta. The big question with this is, you know, who is going to run to form?
Yeah.
It's quite a tightly graded race for a group contest.
All right, So Beloved, then the pick for Rory there in the 4:05. And as usual, we'll just have a little bit of a summary before you go, Rory, if you just confirm your selections for us then for Saturday.
Yeah, a very skinny price, but Rebel Assault's going to be extremely difficult to beat in the Hillary Needler at Beverley. In the 3:30, the Pinnacle Stakes at Haydock, I think that Batil will take the world of beating there. I think she should be favourite over Ashman Princess. The mile and six handicap at Newmarket, Bats Rock down at the bottom of the handicap is improving and looks the best bet there. And then we end up with So Beloved, who looks a decent price, given he's one of the more likely horses to give their running in that race.
Superb. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Thank you very much indeed.
There you go. The thoughts of Rory De Laghi then on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:15pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Seb Sanders and Lord John Budden. We've got plenty to get stuck into. Haydock, Newmarket, Chester, Catterick and Beverley in the afternoon. And then it's Chepstow and Stratford in the evening. So do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.